You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on a Friday, the day before Wisconsin's second game day of the year. Joined as always by Ben Kenny. My name is Asher Lowe, and this is the show that brings you all things Wisconsin basketball and football. Talking Badgers, we do it over at BadgersWire.com for USA Today Sports. And of course, we do it right here on the Locked On Badgers podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Badgers, at ALOW_33, and at Ben Z Kenny for all the info on episodes, special guests, the schedule for the week, what we're talking about, all that good stuff on Twitter. Make sure you subscribe on Apple, follow on Spotify, drop a review on Apple. That would be an awesome help to the podcast to help us continue to grow. Game two tomorrow for Wisconsin football. After starting 0-1, it is a bounce-back game that should be a pretty easy challenge for this Badger team, although they're not overlooking anybody. This is certainly the easiest challenge of the year on paper against Eastern Michigan at home. Ben Kenny is going to talk to us a little bit about Eastern Michigan's team, the squad, who we can expect to stand out, who we should be watching for, what we should be watching for, all that good stuff. And then we're going to get into our game predictions, how we think it's all going to shake out, what we're watching for from a Wisconsin perspective, all that good stuff. Ben, I know your computer's a little messed up. I'm sorry. You had a spillage this morning on the Bill Michaels show, as I understand it.
I was in hosting with my buddy Ebo for Bill Michaels, previewing the Badgers game on Saturday, previewing the Packers game on Sunday. I spilled something on my computer keyboard and it now does not work. So it is what we call not ideal. Regardless though, like, it's football's back, so I cannot be mad.
I can hear you, so that's a good start. You don't sound too choppy. So we're going to roll with it. We're going to roll with it on Locked On Badgers on a Friday. Eastern Michigan, Ben, give me a word. Describe them in a word.
Does a hyphenated word count?
Fine.
This game is what we call a get-right game for the Badgers, or as Ebo said on our show today, a slump buster. This team does not present the Badgers any challenge, really, at any level of the field. Yeah, we have questions about how the Badgers looked against Penn State, specifically Mertz, specifically the O-line, but when you look at this Eastern Michigan team, this is the perfect opportunity for them to bounce back and get everybody back on their side. We're really just like get momentum into the bye week and into the Notre Dame game.
It is the perfect opportunity for Graham Mertz to bounce back, Ben. I think it'd be a really good confidence boost, a slump buster, if you will, Ebo, but a confidence booster for Graham Mertz to have a big day at home on Saturday, kind of remind the fans of who he can be. And yeah, it's not going to be a game that defines him or the season or anything about Wisconsin. They have to win it. They have to win it convincingly. And even a convincing win, Ben, probably doesn't convince the fans, the fan base at large, of really anything in week two. And that's kind of the weird part about college football. You have games where you play a Penn State week one, a team that is going to be a top 15, top 10 team this year. And then you go all of a sudden to week two and you're playing a game that, if it's even close, it's embarrassing. And there's no other sport really like that in terms of the difference of opponent from week to week. I think like the NFL, obviously, like, sure, you get maybe a Super Bowl contender one week and then a bottom of the barrel team another week. But the difference is not that insane compared to the difference that, like you said, every physical level, right? Every skill position, it's all just a mismatch.
Right. And I mean, if you look at Mertz's career, his 8 starts, he's really only played well against bad defenses. And well is a relative term, right? He was unbelievable against Illinois last year. He played pretty solid against Michigan, who didn't have a great defense last season. He then plays okay at Minnesota and okay against Wake Forest. He really struggled last year against Northwestern, really good defense, Indiana and Iowa, both really good defenses. Then you go to Penn State last weekend, another really solid defense, and he struggles. So, I mean, I expect him to play really well, but it is like a pattern so far in his career. Still, it's like this is a momentum game for me. It's what we talked about earlier in the week. This is a game where maybe the struggles and the bad we saw against Penn State from Tyler Beach, from the O-line, and from Mertz, this is where they can get on the right track, because then they have two games that will be big challenges and they have to win against Notre Dame, not so much, but definitely Michigan.
Absolutely. The Notre Dame-Michigan back-to-back is going to be massive for this team. But like you said, because of the Big Ten standings, that Michigan game probably looms even larger. Let's dive a little bit further into Eastern Michigan, Ben. Some players to watch for them.
So last week they played St. Francis in PA, who I have never heard of. I take it that you have, being the
Red Storm.
yeah, the basketball insane nerd that you are. They
Red Flash.
Yeah, the Red Flash. They didn't have much trouble with them. 35-15 was the final score. Found a lot of success on the ground. They didn't do much throwing the ball. Their quarterback play was really shaky. They have Preston Hutchinson, who is a redshirt junior. He threw for 63 yards on 12 attempts and an interception. And then they have Ben Bryant, Cincinnati transfer. Ben Bryant, listen to this. Oh. Cincinnati transfer. He was a Wisconsin commit back in the day. He actually played okay last weekend. Yeah. Yeah, this is a storyline that's kind of slept on right now. But he was 8-for-10 last weekend, 126 yards. He looked okay. Chris Creighton, their head coach, did not say who's going to start at quarterback. If last week is any indication, it'll probably be Bryant. But it's not a team that's going to find success through the air. Their identity was running the football. They had 58 carries combined last weekend, 221 yards, 5 touchdowns on the ground. Obviously, that's against a really poor team. And, I mean, that's playing into Wisconsin's strength, because if Noah Kane and Penn State can't run the ball or barely run it against Wisconsin, Eastern Michigan might not go forward.
So this Ben Bryant story is kind of interesting. I'm reading about it now a little bit. I forgot that he had originally committed to Wisconsin. And, yes, he did land on Cincinnati. But, yeah, wow, he was going to – wow. He was going to come to Wisconsin. Not probably play, but come to Wisconsin.
What year was it again? I forget what recruiting class.
He was a 2017. He committed in 2017, but he was a 2018 class commit.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, he, in my estimation, he will probably see the majority of the work at quarterback, but he's not like that. The passing offense is not something that scares you. They do have Hassan Beydoun, wide receiver, who looked okay, 58 yards against St. Francis. The passing attack as a whole, like if they don't go to it that much against a team like St. Francis, I don't see them really relying on it heavily against Wisconsin. The name to watch on this offense, running back Darius Boone Jr., 100 yards last week. He's their guy. They also have Juwan Hamilton in that backfield. But if you're talking about a game for the Badger defense to avoid those coverage busts we saw last weekend and to just absolutely feast on the offensive line, on the offense as a whole, I mean, this is that matchup.
Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the game, with flavors for absolutely anybody to enjoy. Coconut, cherry, barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, some new flavors in, German chocolate, my favorite flavor, the mint brownie, the raspberry, the salted caramel. See, I have three. That's why you have to get a mix box. You have to try every single one. Get the mix box. You get two of each of those 9 flavors. The macros are immaculate. 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams net carbs, amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Order today. Get the grasshopper cookie, raspberry, whatever the heck you want at builtbar.com. Promo code LOCKED15. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKED15, BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKED15, 15% off your first order with that code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. Predictions, Ben, are interesting for a game like Eastern Michigan. Let's talk spread, shall we? Because that's the interesting question. And it's a big spread for a team that didn't look all that potent offensively, to put it mildly, in Wisconsin, trying to cover what I see right now, latest odds on betonline.ag, Ben. It's been bet up to 26.5. That's a huge number.
Asher, it started at 31. And then I guess the narrative around the Wisconsin offense is so poor, it drops down to 20.
I saw it at 24.5, I think, at the lowest. And now we're back up.
It is a spread that I really think Wisconsin covers. I mean, we saw this offense have success. We saw Ches Malusi look magical in the backfield. I think Jalen Berger is back there getting carries this week as well, but who the hell knows? The offensive line can dominate. And Asher, in the red zone against this team, the Badgers better be scoring touchdowns, because that's why they lost last week. This is a team where they could find success in the red zone. I think they cover. I really do. I think Jim Leonard's defense is too stout for Eastern Michigan to find much success, but more so, I think the Badger offense bounces back to more of what we saw early last season, especially against Illinois.
I think that I have to agree. I like the Badgers against the number, but the pace of play worries me. Like, Wisconsin's going to score, Ben, on likely 7 to 8 minute drives. They're going to be long, long drives. And that's a lot of points. That's a lot of points.
It is a lot of points, but I also kind of take numbers like this when the narrative is maybe going the other way. I think the narrative is so poor on this Wisconsin offense that people are doubting that they can even score 26 points in general. But I just see them having the success that maybe brings people back on the train of maybe this offense can be good, even though when we're talking about takeaways, if they do win and they play well on offense, we're not going to be saying this offense is fully back.
Narratives are a funny thing because it's funny how and a win, and I was talking about this on Monday, Ben, how a win or a loss in a game can erase what happened for 95, 98, 99% of the game.
Right.
And Wisconsin's offense was pretty close to scoring 26 points against Penn State.
Oh, when you look at the math, they should have 100%.
And so it's interesting how the narrative of an offense can change based on, say, two red zone possessions, a missed field goal, two botched handoffs, just some strange plays.
And missed throws by the quarterback.
Absolutely. Including a game, potential game winning missed throw at the very end. After all the bad stuff happened, Wisconsin's offense still had a chance and created the opportunity, the coaches did, to give those players, that player being Graham Mertz specifically, a chance to find Tamari Dike there at the end of the game. So everything considered, Wisconsin's offense is nowhere near as down as I think people will probably think nationally after week one. And I do agree that they can score 40 in this game, like with relative ease.
Yeah, I see the final score around 42 to maybe 13, 14 points. Eastern Michigan could finally score when Wisconsin's up big. But Asher, on that Eastern Michigan defense real quick, just a couple names to highlight. They were the most productive guys last week and are some of their best players. Linebacker Terry Myrick. Mertz is going to have to avoid these guys. He's going to have to find a way to get the ball to Jake Ferguson and get the ball to the wide receivers while taking the opposing linebackers out of play. Because we saw Ellis Brooks and Jaquan Brisker, who's a safety, but he was playing down in the box a lot. We saw those linebackers on Penn State feast against Wisconsin in the red zone last week. But Terry Myrick is a name to watch. Hybrid defensive end linebacker Jose Ramirez and defensive end Teron Rush. Those are the three guys you should be watching. But I mean, unit wide, like, this is just, we need to see them play super well, but I'm not concerned in the slightest that they will. I just need, honestly, Asher, I want to see Paul Christ add more depth to this offense.
And what does that mean?
First, against Penn State, we did not see nearly as much pre-snap motion as we should have.
Ben, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. It's funny you mentioned that, because did you see the quote?
No. What quote?
Did not see the pre-snap motion quote from Paul Christ yet?
I did not.
Oh, man, I got to find that. Keep talking. I'm going to find that for you.
So in 2019, Asher, when this offense was running on all cylinders, obviously you have JT in the backfield, Jack Cohn at quarterback, Quintez Cephas on the outside, super talented offense. Two of those guys are now in the NFL. But we also saw Paul Christ utilize a lot of motion before the snap. We saw the wide receivers get the ball on jet sweeps. We saw a little more deception. Even go back to 2020, there was a package I saw them use a lot, which incorporated Chimera Dike or Kendrick Pryor, another wide receiver, running across jet sweep, either Mertz, like there were many looks they could give out. Mertz could hand them the ball. He could fake him the ball. Then he could hand or fake to the running back. And then you also had Jake Ferguson leaking out. It was a multifaceted play that was really hard to stop for opposing defenses. I mean, I need to see them return to that, because against Penn State, it was a pretty bland attack. It worked. They got down in the red zone a lot, but still, I think it'll help Graham Mertz a lot if they actually work to deceive the defense. Because you had Jaquan Brisker saying that playing against the Badger offense is like playing a guy in Madden. Like, you know that they're going back to the same plays that he's already seen, and he knows how to stop. That was why he got
spamming,
the interception.
Spamming four verticals, spamming halfback dives, spamming four verticals every time over the middle of the tight end, four verticals, bang, bang, bang. It's easy money.
Yeah, and he wasn't wrong. So I need to see Paul Christ utilize that, the pre-snap motion, the different looks to give the defense, and I need to see Mertz start attacking outside the numbers more. And that's a wide receiver thing. That's a game plan thing. It's also a Mertz thing. This offense just has to have more depth than what we saw against Penn State.
Well, boy, do I have a quote for you in just a sec. Today's episode is brought to you by Stat Hero. Stat Hero is the place to go if you want to play daily fantasy sports. I'll tell you why, Ben. It's different than, say, other daily fantasy sports sites where you're playing against other players. On Stat Hero, you're playing against Stat Hero, and you name your stakes, winner take all. Stat Hero creates their lineup. Their computers create their lineup and dares you to beat them. Even better, Ben, they show you their lineup before you pick yours. And then you go one-on-one against the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes, winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero shows you the lineups ahead of time. Nobody else does that. Play Stat Hero now. Change the odds. StatHero.com/lockedon. StatHero.com/lockedon. Sign up for free. Right now, you can get 3x back on your first play. 300% match on your first play. StatHero.com/lockedon. So, Ben, a quote for you about pre-snap motion and Paul Christ. This was this week in Wisconsin's pressers. You ready?
Yeah.
He was asked about the lack of pre-snap motion against Penn State and whether it was part of the new offense or something the Nittany Lions were doing. This is courtesy of Dave Heller on Twitter. Quote from Paul Christ: "No, it was kind of what we thought fit the game situation for us last week." End quote.
Asher, that game situation, what did it result in when they got to the red zone? They could do nothing.
And it's a dangerous quote. That's a dangerous quote, man.
Asher, this is the thing about pre-snap motion. It's like they could still find success like they did against Penn State in between the 20s, just being bland and doing the thing they normally do. But what those plays, the motion plays, the different looks, what they set up is when you get in the red zone, it's kind of like when you're pitching in baseball and you throw a fastball, not just to throw the pitch, but to set up the next one. What these plays set up are varied looks when they actually get in the red zone and they need to find a way to score. So that, like if they attack Penn State that way last weekend, then they're able to be in the red zone, run the same look, but do something different off it. Like it's literally pitch sequences in baseball, and they didn't do it. So yeah, it fit the game plan. Well, guess what? In the red zone, the game plan sucked. The game plan was awful.
It's every sport. In every sport, there is a bit of reaction and giving the same look and then changing it up because you just gave one look, giving a similar look, but doing something different off of it. It happens in every single sport. The baseball example is great. Changes the pitcher's eye level, right? Whether the fastball is high or low, changes speeds when you go fastball and then you go off speed. There's so many things you can change and throw off a hitter with, and it's a good example to use. Basketball, we see the same stuff. So that's a really good comparison and analogy. And I think that it's a concerning quote, Ben, because it doesn't acknowledge. And this is a pattern with coaches in general. So maybe it's just coach speak, but it doesn't acknowledge that that was wrong, that that was a very, very incorrect approach. It just says, yep, thought it was right, didn't execute.
Well, they didn't execute, and if they had, the conversation would be different. But still, Paul Christ hates the media so much. But at the same time, it's like, sometimes you're wrong, and sometimes you need to say it. Now, the thing is, when we see them play Eastern Michigan and Notre Dame, and we see those looks be different, that's him admitting he was wrong. He just never says anything at the podium to actually hint to that. Which, like, Asher, that quote angered me. That, like I'm mad now, and thank God they're playing a cupcake this weekend. Because otherwise, like, we would harp so much on how Paul Christ is calling this game. Because the Penn State one, what, like, he did not call a good game against Penn State.
No, I don't think he did. I don't think he did. And I put the first blame on players in that game, but
100%.
There's a certain amount that definitely falls on offensive game planning as well.
100%.
It's a mixed bag for sure. Anytime you score 10 points in a game as a good football team, it's a mixed bag. It's almost everybody's fault.
Anytime you are categorically horrible in a certain situation, there are multiple people that are to blame. And it doesn't even need to point to that exact situation. It's how do you set up yourself to succeed in that certain situation, which was the red zone. Ugh, whatever. So, I'm excited for Saturday. I'm excited to see them play well. But I'm still going to ask those same questions until they go and beat Notre Dame and beat Michigan. Because otherwise, then we're in trouble.
Oof, that Notre Dame game is going to be so fun.
I am so excited. I got a Notre Dame hat that I'm not going to wear, but that I'm going to own. Do you know what's messed up? I mean, I know it's a Friday episode. We're ending it soon, but you know the worst part about sports right now?
Well, I'll tell you what's messed up. The fact that you just lied to the public, because you definitely are going to be wearing that Notre Dame hat.
No, not during the game. I'll be down at the red zone. You could see me in not a Notre Dame hat. But Asher, Peacock TV, do you know what they did?
The NBC thing?
Yeah, NBC put Notre Dame.
Well, they messed up the Olympics.
They messed that up. Then they put Notre Dame football games on Peacock TV. Asher, they're behind a paywall. I can't watch Notre Dame play football. And like, listen, I just want to see Jack Cohn do well.
I hate to tell you that this thing exists, but have you ever heard
streams? But still, like
heard I need to watch streams. No,
I have heard and I will be utilizing, but it's still incredibly frustrating.
It is annoying, but it still exists.
At least Wisconsin can play on Big Ten Network or wherever they throw them. Because Paul,
this game is definitely. I don't even know it is for a fact. But I also know for a fact that this game is definitely a Big Ten Network game.
Yeah. All right. Whatever. All right. Yo, Friday, though, anyone listening, come out to the red zone. 4 to 6, the zone blitz pregame bash. Watch the game. We'll be hanging out there before and during, maybe directly after the game. So come say hi. Come get angry at how Paul Chryst approaches games with me.
Go get angry with Ben, as always, on Wisconsin. Badgers, Eastern Michigan. 6 Central on Saturday. We'll come back to you 1-1 on Monday.